It's time now for the Worship Hour on KSGL, sponsored by Crossroads Baptist Church, 11441 East Central in Wichita. Let's go to the worship service, already in progress.
Scripture this morning comes from the 23rd Psalm. It's a very familiar psalm. Our Sunday school teacher, Brother Timmy, always opens up his class. He said, "Who are we and what are we all about?" As we go through this song this morning, think about it. This is a very, very personal song that is written to us as individuals. And as we read this psalm, take it very personal. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Great, great promise. Let's pray. Lord, what a privilege we have to live in America, where we have the freedom to assemble as we are here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity we have to share God's word. I think of the words of the old song, "Their master calleth to come and dine." Lord, what a privilege we have to come and dine upon your word this morning. We're all different. We have all different problems. We're made up different. But Lord, the problems that we have can be found in the answers of your word. And Father, we pray this morning that as we glorify you through the preaching of your word and the singing of the songs and the prayers that go forth, that Lord, we truly might worship you here this morning in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray for the offering that is to receive. I pray that you'd bless the gift and the giver, that it might use to further your kingdom, not only here, but around the world. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory and honor. For it's in your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
what a great medley. Day by day, he walks with us in the garden or wherever we go, and that is our hope, isn't it? Amen. Let's stand and sing, Be Thou My Vision, followed by May the Mind of Christ My Savior. Seated.
Thank you, Craig. And thank all of you for singing this morning. I know you look around, you say, where is everybody? They're everywhere. I mean, we have Pat up in New Jersey. We have Leon and Ruby down in Oklahoma at a funeral. Becky is in Maryland this morning at Annapolis. Her choirs are singing at the Annapolis Chapel today. And Lisa and her company are out of town. And we could just go on and on. You say, do we get a discount on the sermon? Do we get it shortened down? Absolutely not. You're getting the full wagon load this morning. So if you do, have Psalm 23 ready to go. And we're in verse 2 this morning. We introduce you to the valves that we're using. And last week we talked about the control valve that we can use to shut down worry. And this morning we're looking at the control valve to shut down stress. Have you ever experienced that sinking feeling of being totally out of control? I remember driving back home on a very snowy, blustery winter night all by myself. I dropped my sister off at St. Luke's School of Medicine and Case Western Reserve University. She was getting her RN degree. And I dropped her off, and I was on my way home, and boy, did it ever start snowing. And I came up over a little rise, and as soon as I got over top, going back home in this whiteout, I hit a slick spot in a four-lane highway. I spun 360 degrees. And there I was, sitting in the driver's seat, my hands on the steering wheel, and I couldn't control anything. It's a scary, it's a frightening feeling. Fortunately, everything turned out all right. But there will be times in life when we will have life handing us those sinking moments of insecurity. And they're stressful. You didn't see them coming. You didn't expect them. You didn't plan on it. David, the sweet singer and the king of Israel, is sharing with us in the 23rd Psalm how to be able to handle some of life's most troubling and pressing situations and feelings. And as I said, last week we introduced the psalm by talking about the control valve to shut down worry in our lives. As Ron read this morning in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I love the way he read that psalm. One of the things, I had a speech teacher, and I told you before, even after I graduated from college, I went back and took 3 speech courses because I was scared to death to get up in front of people like you. But my one speech teacher made us read the same passage over and over and over, putting emphasis on different word every time we read the scripture. And Ron emphasized the personal pronouns in Psalm 23 this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. And as we discovered that in today's vernacular, what King David was saying was this: the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need, so why should I worry? Because all of my needs are going to be supplied by him. The takeaway last Sunday was that to shut down the worry in your life, the Lord needs to be your shepherd. And your shepherd must be the Lord. You cannot progress this morning. You cannot continue on in this psalm until you've used that valve to shut down worry on your life. Then and only then can you start working on the stress valve that will shut down stress in your life. Because if you're worried, you're going to be stressed, right? It's just a natural. So I pray this morning, if you haven't already done so, you have made the Lord the shepherd and bishop of your soul. So look with me this morning at Psalm 23:2. In fact, let's just go back and tie it again to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Last week, we briefly mentioned that it was the responsibility of the shepherd to be able to lead his sheep into places where they would find the greenest of the pastures. And they would have the opportunity to drink beside the still waters. Sheep are nervous animals by nature when it comes to water. And as well, they should be. How many of you own a wool sweater? You don't want one right now, that's for sure. But can you imagine what it would be like falling into a raging river with three or four wool sweaters on? Man, that would drag you under fast because that wool just goes, sucks all that water up. You can't move. That is why sheep like to drink from still waters, from calm waters. If they are swept into swift running water, they'll drown. They know it. So a good shepherd would lead his sheep to places in the middle of the day where they could lay down after having stuffed themselves in green pastures, places where they could calmly drink from cool, peaceful, still, tranquil waters. What a refreshing time it would be for the sheep just to be able to relax, to lie down in lush green grass, store up that fat, right? Grow some more wool as you're lying there. And they were undoubtedly happy and healthy sheep. Make now the analogy. The Bible says we are like sheep. We too need our comfort. We need our encouragement. We need our security. We need our relaxation. We need our rest. In today's success-driven society, we often feel just the opposite. We feel driven. We feel rushed. We feel upset by this fast pace that's taking place all around us. If we're not careful, we become so accustomed to that fast pace that we almost feel guilty if we take time out to rest, just to take a deep breath and to meditate. We fear that the world will look at us and label us as being lazy, good for nothings, if we enjoy life. And I will guarantee you, you will wreck your physical and mental health if you don't have some downtime. We all need it. You say, are you upset with all these people that are not here in church this morning or the ones that are home in bed? I'm happy for those who are able to get out of town. I rejoice with them for being able to have a break. And they'll probably be back next Sunday and some of you will be out of town and we'll rejoice with you. But don't get upset at yourself if you take the time to have some downtime. Maybe you heard about the irate church member who called her pastor early on Monday morning of all times to be able to call the pastor, and she couldn't get a hold of him. He wouldn't answer the phone. So she tried again on Tuesday. And when he answered the phone, she said, "Pastor, I tried to call you yesterday, but you didn't answer the phone." And the pastor said, "Well, Monday is my day off. And I really needed a break. So I turned my phone off." To which the congregant said, "Well, I needed you, Pastor. And I want you to know the devil never takes a day off." The pastor said, "That's right. The devil never does take a day off. And you know what? I would act just like the devil if I never took a day off too." Maybe that's why some of us act like the devil. Maybe we're so geared up. Maybe we're in such a rush. We've filled our agendas, our schedules so full, we just cannot relax. We never lie down in the green pastures. We never sit still by the calm, cool waters. We're too busy. We're stressed out. We can't grow fat spiritually because we never take time to feed ourselves spiritually. And therefore, we're anemic spiritually. We're sick spiritually. All of that busyness just seems to sap the strength right out of us, makes us spiritually anemic. You know what we need to do? We need to take the time to have a quiet time with the Lord every single day. The shepherd. Nuzzle up to him. We buy some stuff from a farmer up near Yoder. And they usually deliver it into town, but one day we missed it. So Betty and I said, "Well, we'll just drive up to the farm." So we drove up there and Betty got out of the car. And I looked across and all of a sudden there came this little lamb. man, he was just running to beat 60, right up to Betty. Sit there and just nuzzled up against her. And then he came running to me, and then he ran back to Betty. And the wife came out, and she said, "I'm so sorry. He is such a pest." He said, "In a couple of weeks, he'll get to the place where he'll do nothing but butt you. Just come up and butt against you, because, and that's when we get rid of them, because that's when they become a nuisance." But lambs are so cute. We need to learn to behave like a lamb running to the shepherd. The shepherd loves those little rascals. He picks them up. He carries them. He hugs them. We need that quiet time with the Lord. Maybe it's time some of us here this morning think about the truth of Psalm 100, verse 3, where every single one of us who are believers are likened unto God's sheep. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." I want you to stop and consider with me this morning some possible conditions of sheep. Last week we talked about how sheep don't have to worry, not if they're following their shepherd. If they're staying close by, if they're heeding his voice, listening for his call, he's going to take care of everything that they need. And this morning we're focusing on how sheep keep from being stressed out. Most of us can use our sanctified imagination and we can see this tranquil pastoral scene. I often think of the painter of lights. And think about that beautiful flock of sheep that are leisurely meandering through a beautiful meadow. They're behind their loving shepherd who is leading them out into this lush green pasture. There is a calm, cool, flowing stream right next to it. As you sit there and you look at that kind of a picture, and here it's a word picture before us, but if you think about it, it's so refreshing just to imagine that in your mind. If you could just close your eyes and just see all of that taking place. We don't normally think of sheep as being stressed out animals. But as all of us know from experience, we as God's sheep, we can become very easily stressed out if we're relying upon our own strength and making our own provision. Why? Because sheep, by nature, they're weak animals. Sheep are some of the most defenseless animals imaginable. Compared to a hungry grizzly bear that might come running out of the bushes, or compared to a raging bull that's sitting there and it's pawing the ground and you can see plumes of dust and smoke being raised as he's breathing heavily out of his nostrils, a sheep seems so docile, so gentle, so helpless. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "We are like sheep." In comparison to God, we human beings are weaklings, incapable of defending ourselves against so many dangers. In the animal kingdom, most animals can defend themselves. A venomous snake can coil up and then strike and put its venom in you. A tiger can jump and sink its claws deep into your flesh with a death grip, ripping you open. A lion can pounce on top of you, and a lion's jaws are so strong they can literally break your bones. A horse can kick you, cause you immeasurable harm. And a skunk, well, we all know what a skunk can do to you, right? But a sheep, there's not much a sheep can do. The Bible clearly says we are like sheep. We're just being led to the slaughter. In Acts 8:32, when Philip approached the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot, the eunuch was reading out of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. We're speaking of the coming Messiah of Israel. The Bible says, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so openeth he not his mouth." Isn't that sad? Take that little sheep. And I'm always moved when I read about the Old Testament sacrifices. And they take that little lamb And it breaks my heart. I can see that little lamb that's so loving and so full of joy and happiness and fun. And the priest would pick it up. And those big, soft, warm eyes looking at him. And the priest would pull that little chin up and take a knife and put it across his throat. And he never made a sound. Sheep are very weak, defenseless animals, totally dependent upon the shepherd for protection. But not only are sheep weak, sheep also have a tendency to be wayward. Sheep can become very easily lost. Unlike a cat that always seems to find its way back home where you take it, sheep tend to lose their sense of direction. Many animals have a good sense of direction. A horse will come back to the corral. A cow, Betty and I were in Ohio. We were in a cabin on a farm. And we rented the cabin for just one night. And all of a sudden we heard this and the clang, clang, clang of a bell. And we looked and there was a walkway right outside of our cabin. And the lead cow was leading the whole herd up to the barn. And we watched them. They just followed along. A dog generally finds its way home. But sheep? My mother used to talk about how stupid and easily distracted her sheep were when she was younger. Sheep tend to graze with their heads down. They don't bother to look up. They just keep going from one clump of grass to another clump of grass to another. They're not aware of their surroundings. They get easily lost as a result. I think we're a lot like sheep. We're weak, and we tend to be wayward. Thirdly, sheep are willful. Sheep have strong wills which tend to add to their problems. They may not have such good eyesight. They may not be very strong. But let me tell you something. They don't lack for a stubborn will. Sheep have strong wills, and they tend to insist on having things their way. That's why Peter would write in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 25, "For ye are as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Many are the sheep of God this morning who have wandered away from the shepherd because they're willful. They are children of God, there's no doubt. The Lord is their shepherd, but in their heart and their way of thinking, they are saying, you know what? I'm going to go my own way, and I'm going to do my own thing, and I don't care who disagrees with me. But listen carefully to what I'm about to say. If you are truly a part of God's flock, you can rest assured that your great shepherd, he's not going to let you get away from him for very long. He's going to take some action. We'll look at that in the days ahead. You may wander for a while, but you will one day wake up and you will find yourself fearful. You will find yourself worrying and stressed out. Why? Because we get under stress for the same reasons that sheep get under stress. That's why we're called the sheep of his pasture. Sheep get stressed out when they wander away from the shepherd, and suddenly they look up, they wake up, and they're no longer in the green pasture. They look around, there's turbulent water instead of the calm, still waters. They begin seeing and hearing frightening predators all around them, and they look for the shepherd, and he's not there. They begin to lose weight. The worry sets in. Their wool stops growing. They lose their sense of security, knowing the shepherd is not going to be able to protect them. The joy that they knew from being with their shepherd in the flock, it's gone. And they feel so lonely. Because you and I are weak. Because we are wayward in our tendencies. Because we are willful in our stubborn natures. We don't always lie down in the green pastures. We don't always drink from the calm, still waters. And it ends up, we get stressed out. That is the character of sheep. Those are the reasons we get stressed out. But I want you to consider with me for a moment the character of the shepherd. What kind of a shepherd do we have? even when we're weak, even when we're wayward, even when we're willful. Well, the shepherd and bishop of our soul, Jesus, is a very compassionate shepherd. We read of him in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. That word fainted in Matthew 9, 36 means to be stressed out, to be uptight, to be worn down, to be burdened. The Bible says that when Jesus saw his wayward, willful, weak sheep, and he saw how stressed out they were, how uptight they were, how worn down they were, how burdened they were, he was moved with compassion. There are times, ladies and gentlemen, when even the upright get uptight. When the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion, that word moved means to be stirred in his innermost being. Jesus was troubled for them in his heart and in his soul. Why? Because he loved them. Because he cared for them. That word compassion is actually a compound word, which means, com means with, passion, feeling. So it's with feeling or with passion. In other words, Jesus felt for these sheep of Israel. He sensed their stress. He felt their burdens. He saw the anxiety that they were carrying. Isn't it comforting to know that our shepherd looks at us, even when we have been weak and willful and wayward, and we have brought all of this stress upon ourselves? It's our fault because we wandered away from the shepherd. And yet, he still moved with compassion for us. He doesn't come after us to condemn us. He comes after us to rescue us. Never forget, our Lord was hung up for our hang-ups. But not only is Jesus a compassionate shepherd, Jesus is also a very caring shepherd. The psalmist cried out in Psalm 40, verse 11, "Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." Folks, our Lord is so caring. He's full of tender mercies. He's constantly, always looking after us as his sheep of his pasture. The prophet Isaiah describes our Lord's compassion like this in Isaiah 40, 11. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and he'll carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Get the word picture there. Isaiah is describing a shepherd. He's leading his sheep along. Some of them are expectant. They can't go as fast. He has that in mind. He lets them take their time. He's looking all around. He spots a little lamb. And he notices this little lamb hasn't been born too long, and his legs aren't too strong. His stride isn't what it should be yet, and he's struggling to keep up. It's hot. The sun is beating down. The air is dry. The grass is dusty. And that poor little lamb is so weak. That little ball of wool can hardly pick up one foot and put it down in front of the other. And finally, he becomes so exhausted, so tired, that little lamb just collapses on the ground. His good shepherd sees him, and he stops. He turns around. He goes back to where that little lamb is lying motionless. He reaches down, and he picks him up. And he presses him in his arms to his bosom, and he begins stroking him. and begins whispering in his ear, calming him, reassuring him, I'm going to take care of you. Maybe you feel like that little lamb this morning. Maybe you feel like, I don't have any strength left. I'm worn out. You feel like you can't take another step. You can't keep up the pace. You're falling behind. And you feel like just lying down in the dust and dying. Take heart. Remember that you have a caring and compassionate great shepherd. He'll come to your aid. He'll refresh you. He'll reassure you. He'll let you know of his love. But not only is Jesus a compassionate and caring shepherd, Jesus is also a very courageous shepherd. He was willing to lay down his life for you. Our Lord and Savior himself said in John chapter 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. You know, the world we live in, folks, it is fraught with dangers all around us. Dangers for us personally, dangers for our spouses, dangers for our children, dangers for our friends. But our good shepherd, our great shepherd, he's always there. There's no lack of wolves in the woods that are just waiting to destroy the sheep. Some of those wolves are dressed up in sheepskins. They've disguised themselves. There are plenty of people who would love to devour your joy and your happiness. They just live to be able to rob you of your sleep and your peace. But the good shepherd says, don't worry. I'm going to give my life for my sheep. I am going to stand between my sheep and any enemy that would come after them. In your weakest, wayward, most willful moment, Jesus is willing to step between you and the danger that you're facing and say to your enemies, look, if you want to get to them, you're going to have to come through me. Our Lord is a courageous shepherd. He fears nothing. There's nothing greater than God. There's no one more powerful than God. There's nothing that can defeat God. Fourthly, our shepherd not only is a caring, compassionate, courageous shepherd, our shepherd's also a very close shepherd. Now, you talk about stress relief. You cannot put a price tag on the promise that Jesus made when he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Jesus said in John 10, 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. What's he saying? Get the picture in your mind. The sun has set. Darkness has settled in around you. Perhaps there's no moon, no stars out that night. Perhaps there's a heavy cloud cover. It is pitch black. How does the shepherd provide protection for his sheep in the blackness of night? Answer, he builds a little enclosure for them, or he finds a fenced-in area, and he lays down in the entrance of that enclosure for the night. Nothing can get to the sheep unless it comes through that door of the fold, and the shepherd is guarding the door. When the shepherd is at the door, the only way that the sheep can get out is to go over the shepherd, and they'll certainly wake him up, and he'll pull them back in. And the only way a wolf or a predator can get in is to go through the shepherd. The shepherd's always close by. If a sheep is ill, he's there to nurse it. If a little lamb is born, he's there to look after it. If a sheep needs special attention, the shepherd's always close by and he will come to the aid of his sheep. And listen to me this morning. We don't need to be stressed out thinking, well, our great shepherd, He's off in some other universe somewhere. We don't know what he's doing. He's not even aware of us. Oh, yes, he is. There is nothing that goes on in any of our lives that he's not cognizant of, that he does not see. He sees all and he hears all. He is a shepherd who the Bible says never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always close by. What a shepherd we have. So, what's the cure for our stress? Well, if stress is the result of being anxious and worried and busy and overly concerned, then the answer to stress is to learn to relax. Rest in the Lord. That's not natural for any of us, the sons and daughters of Adam. We want to take the bull by the horns ourselves. We want to solve our own problem. Sometimes God has to force us into seclusion. He has to make us lay down and relax and rest. Look again at Psalm 23:2. We're speaking of our heavenly shepherd. David says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Folks, the cure for stress is learning to relax and rest in the Lord. Can you envision the shepherd bedding the sheep down out there in the green pastures? He took them into this lush grassy meadow. Man, they ate and they ate and they ate. Their little tummies got bigger and bigger, swelled up until they just thought, "I can't eat another bite. They are full." He said, "Just lay down." They're not worried. They're not anxious. Shepherd's been good to them. They don't have a care in the world. And now the shepherd encourages them, just rest. Trust me. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28. "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you more work to do." Is that what he said? No, he says, "I will give you rest." What do you need to rest from today? Are you tired and weary from possibly having experienced the death of someone that you love? You're worn out. You're stressed out. Maybe you're carrying the burden of divorce papers. Maybe you're tired from being under a heavy load of debt, maybe losing your job, caring for an aging parent or a sick spouse. Maybe you're just exhausted from trying to raise a family or raising a wayward teenager. Learn to relax. Learn to look up, take a deep breath, and talk to the shepherd. One who is going to take tender care of you, the good and the great shepherd. You're safe and secure with him watching over you. The question is, do you trust him? And are you going to try to do everything and solve everything yourself? Trust in his sufficiency to provide for you with whatever you're going to actually need in life. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that they may have life." But it doesn't stop there. There's no period. "And that they may have it more abundantly." There's plenty of God's sheep who cannot rest because they don't really believe that their great and good shepherd is going to provide for them. How? Abundantly. You know what that word abundantly means? It means providing with you more than what you actually need. Some of us can never enter into the realm of rest for abundant living. We're sort of like the little boy. Went to bed and he slept right over on the edge of the bed, and in the middle of the night he fell out, hit the floor with a terrible thud, and both of his parents jumped up and they ran into the bedroom to see what had happened, and they asked him, "What happened?" And he said, "I think I stayed too close to where I got into bed." I think that's an apt description, the story of a whole lot of Christians. We don't get any closer to God than we have to. We stay out on the edge. Instead of entering into a deep and abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, we live out there as far as we can, right on the edge. Have one foot in the world and one foot in the Word. They need to spend more time with God. They need to spend more time deepening their relationship with Him and not fall out of favor with Him by living on the edge. The sheep that insists on spending his time at the edge of the pasture, that is the sheep that is in constant danger, because it's far from the shepherd and it's very close to the predators. He won't find peace and satisfaction out there on the edge of the pasture. Jesus said in John 7, 37 and 38, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But not only can we find rest and relaxation in our shepherd, we can also find, I like this word, serenity in him as well. Something that is serene is, it's free from storms. It's calm. It's unruffled. It's enjoying quietude. It is completely at peace and at rest. Don't you want to be there today? That is the pastoral word picture contained in our text when it said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." But note that sadly some of us have to be forced into serenity. We have to be brought to the point of total exhaustion, right up to the edge of having a nervous breakdown, before we'll submit to serenity and go back to our quiet time with God. Many today have filled their schedule so full, they have scheduled time with God right out of their life. The only way God can get them to spend time with Him is to put them down flat on their back, where they can't look anywhere but up. Why does He do it? To keep us from self-destructing. In the excitement of our early days of aviation warfare, we learned the hard way. It's possible for a military jet to fire a rocket only to shoot itself down with that rocket that it fired, because the jet was traveling faster than the rocket, and it overtook the rocket, ran into the rocket, and blew itself up with its own ammunition. We had to learn to overcome that problem. I'm afraid there are a lot of God's people who are moving so fast in life, they're in danger of shooting themselves down. God never meant for men and women to be perpetual motion machines. He laid down the groundwork. He said, "You got one day in seven. I want you to just rest." Our great shepherd told his little band of 12 in Mark 6, 31 and 32, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place." I always want to change that, put an extra S in, to a desert place. But it says desert place. "And rest a while, for there are many coming and going." And they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. He said, "Guys, you're going to burn out. Slow down. Stop. Let's get away from all of this." Even our shepherd himself often rested. Sometimes Jesus escaped to the mountain in the darkness of the night, and there he would spend time with the Father, or maybe in the wee hours of the morning. Sometimes it was in the stern of a ship. Even during a storm, he would lay down and go to sleep. Other times it was in the home of his close friends, filled with laughter and food and fun. Jesus set the example for us on getting away from everything that's upsetting us and just getting a new perspective on life. Isn't this a good summer sermon? My wife loved Proverbs 3:24, which says, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." God knows what He's talking about. Just submit to His serenity. Take time to lie down in the green pastures. The prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 30:15, in quietness and confidence will your strength be. God declared in Psalm 46:10, be still. Know that I am God. You and I need to rest if we want to grow in our strength, our serenity, and in our spiritual lives. It's a proven fact, stressed out sheep don't procreate, they don't grow wool, and they don't get fat. But stressed sheep do become agitated, restless, sick, and just lose their desire to live. Folks, we all need our rest. We all need to lie down in green pastures and drink from still waters and be near to the heart of God several times a day. Cleland McCaffey was a Presbyterian preacher. He was also a choir director in Parkville, Missouri. The year was 1903, and diphtheria was rampant. Houses were plastered with quarantine signs on those homes. In one of those houses lived two of Cleland's former nieces, whose deaths had broken the hearts of the church and the town folks. Cleland didn't know what to tell his congregation the next Sunday. So he sat down and he composed a song. A song we probably all know. He took that scribbled out piece of music and its lyrics, called his choir together, and in one choir rehearsal, they learned the piece of music. And then they went to stand in front of the house where Cleland's two deceased nieces had gone on to be with the Lord. And his choir stood there and it sang to the family inside that quarantined home. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God. When you realize that as a believer, you already have victory in Jesus Christ. And as a believer, you take the time to meditate upon the fact you have been risen with Christ. You have victory in Christ. All things are under his feet. You are already seated with him in the heavenlies. You know what? You'll be victorious over stress because you have no worries. And he is taking care of every need. What's stressing you out this morning? Here's my encouragement to all of us. Run. Run into the presence of God. Jump up into his arms. Find quiet rest for your soul. And rest near the heart of God. Oh, Father, thank you that there is a place of quiet rest. Lord, we confess we have failed to be able to put into practice what we've already learned in this psalm so many times. Every single one of us has succumbed to worry in our lives. All of us, because of our waywardness, our willfulness, we've brought stress upon ourselves. Thank you that there's a valve that can shut that down. I don't know what the needs of the people here are this morning. We have all different ages, all different individuals with differing levels of health, job needs, securities, familial problems. 10,000 enemies that are constantly knocking on our heart's door, trying to gain entrance, to make us lose our focus, to rob us of our joy and our peace. Thank you for making provision that we can come into your holy presence, that we can come to your side, knowing that you will have compassion upon us, that you'll pull us to yourself and wrap your arms of love around us and calm our troubled souls. Father, whatever the need of people are here today, we pray, though, Lord, that as they come into your presence, they would find respite, they would find joy, they would find peace. May they leave here today without stress, totally trusting in you for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand?
You've been listening to the Worship Hour on KSGL, sponsored by Crossroads Baptist Church, 11441 East Central in Wichita. For more information about Crossroads, you can reach them at 204-3024 or online at cbcks.church. That's cbcks.church. Tune in next week at 9 a.m. for The Worship Hour.